Colossians chapter number 1. Book of Colossians chapter number 1. I want us to think this morning upon the glories of our Lord, the glorious nature of Christ. We're going to call it the glories of Christ. In fact, we're going to take a couple of weeks and look at what this passage of Scripture has to say. Colossians 1, and we'll begin reading verse 15. We'll go read down to verse number 19 for this morning. Colossians 1, verse number 15, and it's speaking of Christ Jesus, and it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." In Jesus Christ, the Son of God, all the fullness dwells. This section of this chapter focuses on the person of Christ. He is one who is the subject of much heresy. And this passage of Scripture is the answer to all the heresy concerning the person of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that just because somebody says they believe in Jesus doesn't mean that they necessarily believe in Jesus of the Bible. Amen. There's all kinds of ideas about who Jesus is, and that goes all the way back to Jesus' day. Just who is Jesus Christ? Remember that question was first posed by Jesus to His own disciples as He asked them in Matthew 16:13, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now there was a diversity of opinions among men in Jesus' day, just as there are a diversity of opinions still today. You could ask that question and you're going to get all kinds of answers, aren't you? And I apologize ahead of time. I've got some issue going on with my vocal cords, and I'm trying everything that I possibly know. I've drank a special tea for it. I'm taking the cough drops. I keep one in my mouth as I preach, but as hard as I try, I still got something going on there, and I've got this dry cough. So bear with me. Some believed in Jesus' day that Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead. Remember how Herod had put John the Baptist to death? Well, they thought he was John the Baptist risen from the dead. Some believe that he was Elijah, laying the pathway for the Messiah. Some believe that he was Jeremiah, who had come back to restore the temple. Some believe that he was just another one of the prophets sent by God. You know, just like the prophets of the Old Testament, he was just another one of them. They didn't see him as being the Son of God. The real question, though, is the same that Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16:15 when he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Who do you say that Jesus is? That's the important question. What is your view of Jesus? And by the way, Jesus already knows the answer to that question. It's for you to honestly answer and to contemplate. Heresies regarding the person of Christ abounded in Paul's day just as they do today. One of the first heresies was known as Arianism. Arianism said that Jesus Christ was just another creature. Nothing special. Another heresy during this time was Gnosticism. We talked about that in the introductory message. The Gnostics believed that Jesus Christ was not God, but He was just another emanation from God. There are those today who still hold those same beliefs. Unitarianism and some of the cults, including the Jehovah's Witnesses, do not believe that Jesus is God. And let me just say this. If you do not believe that Jesus is God, there's no way that you can be born again. Okay? There's no way that you can be born. If you think He was just another man who people put to death on the cross, you don't have the belief that's required in order to know that your sins are forgiven. Because another man could not give himself for your sins. It took more than another creature to redeem man. If the blood of bulls and goats was inadequate, and it was, so the blood of any other creature that might have come into the world would also be inadequate. It took a man to redeem man, but it took a particular type of man. It took more than just an emanation from God to redeem man. Otherwise, an angel could have been the object of redemption. However, angels don't have blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It took a man to redeem man. But as I said, it took more than just a man to redeem man. It took a sinless and holy man. It took the perfect, sinless Son of God. It took the God-man. The God-man. And in this passage, we see Paul marking out the superiorities or the glories of Christ. Look with me, please, first at the glory of His person. There in verse 15, the first part of the verse says, "Who is the image of the invisible God?" He's the image of the invisible God. Hebrews, in chapter 1, listen to what it says in verses 1 through 3. It says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Did you get there in verse 3? Where it said, He's the express image and the express image of His person. He's the brightness of the glory of God, and He's the express image of His person. It's talking about He's the image of the invisible God. Listen to these other passages of Scripture. John 1:18 says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." John 15, verse 24. Jesus said, If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father." Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verses 6 through 11 here. John 14 and verse number 6. And if you get behind on turning the places, I've given you all the stuff there to go back and study it and check up on me on what I've said and the verses that I've read. John 14, verse number 6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's kind of intolerant, isn't it? Well, yeah. That's why we're intolerant. Why we say, hey, there's no other way but through Jesus. Jesus said it Himself. Look at verse 7. He says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. See? He's the image of the invisible God. Okay? He says, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Jesus, we see the glory of this person, he is the image of the invisible God. 2 Corinthians 4:6 also points this out. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where at? In the face of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus Christ is God. He is the image of the invisible God. Second thing we see here is the glory of His position. The glory of His position. Look at verse number 15 again. It says, not only who is the image of the invisible God, but catch this, He's the firstborn of every creature. Then down in verse number 18, it says, and He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. And notice this, He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That word firstborn. We see the glory of His position. He is the firstborn first of every creature. Firstborn of every creature. Now, the Gospel of John, in verse number 1, verse 14, tells us that the Word was made flesh. Speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God in eternity past. He is God. Always will be God. But He was made flesh. How is one made flesh? Well, you got to have a mama and a daddy, right? Well, we know who the mama was. The mama, of course, was Mary. The angel came, told her what was going to happen, and the Holy Ghost came upon her. Power of God was there, and of course, the daddy was God, God the Father. Amen. And so you got a mama and a daddy. But you don't have a daddy that's got tainted blood, do you? You don't have one that has a sin nature. And that's where the blood comes from. It comes from the daddy. And so, where it says there in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, it says, and we beheld His glory. And it goes on to say, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Something was different about Jesus. His glory was the glory of the one that would be the only begotten. You say, man, you know, he just seems a lot like God. You know why? Because He is God. John 3:16 tells us, of course, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The word begotten. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to catch this. In thinking about this matter, He's the firstborn of every creature. He is the firstborn of God in the flesh. I want you to get this now. Of every creature that was ever made, He is the first that was born of God. Jesus is the first that was born of God. He is the only one who was ever begotten of God in the flesh. God is the everlasting Father. The Son is the everlasting Son. And of course, the Spirit is the everlasting Spirit. His person in the Trinity is that of the Son. firstborn indicates his priority before all creation. Listen to this Old Testament scripture, Psalm 89, verse 27. The psalmist said, "Also I will make him my firstborn." This is the Lord speaking. "Higher than the kings of the earth." Hebrews 1:6 says, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world," who's it talking about? It's talking about Jesus. "He saith, let all the angels of God worship him." Romans 8, verse 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Listen, we too have been born of God. But Jesus was the first, and he is the only one born of God in the flesh. Only one born of God in the flesh. Second thing, not only he is the firstborn of God in the flesh, but he is the firstborn from the dead. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We read there in Colossians 1:18 that the very fact that he is the firstborn from the dead made that statement there. What does that mean, firstborn from the dead? Well, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. It says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins." That, you know, when we believe the gospel, we believe that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he arose again the third day, don't we? We believe that's part of the gospel, the resurrection. You can't have the gospel without the resurrection. You got to miss an ingredient. What good is a dead Savior? That's what Paul's pointing out here. He says there in verse 18, "And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." In other words, if they trusted in Christ's resurrection and he didn't rise, well, they're just as lost in their sins as we are. Verse 19, "If in this life we have hope, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Did you get that? Christ is risen from the dead and he's become the first fruits of them that slept. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Catch this up. "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ in his coming." So you see, he's the firstborn from the dead. Now, he's not the first to arise from the dead. Don't get confused. There's some that arose from the dead in the Old Testament. We know that Elijah raised the widow of Zarephath's son. We know that Elisha raised the Shunammite's son. Some arose from the dead in Jesus' day. We have recorded that Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son, Jairus' daughter, and of course, Lazarus. You know? There's some that arose from the dead during the apostles' day. Remember Tabitha or Dorcas? Remember Peter? But consider this. All those who were raised from the dead in each of those instances had to die all over again. Bummer, right? Think about that. They were raised from the dead, but they died again. But Jesus was the first to arise from the dead to die no more. Amen. We too will arise from the dead to die no more, just like He did. But Jesus was the first. He's the first. So the glory of His position is He is the firstborn of God in the flesh. Second thing, He is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter number 1. Now, we saw there in Colossians 1:18 says, and He is the head of the body, the church. That's how that verse begins. But I want you to notice in Ephesians 1, notice verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power, speaking of Christ, to usward, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. We're talking about the highness of the position of Christ here. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him, notice this, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Look at chapter number 4, Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16. Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're to grow up in Christ, aren't we? From whom the whole body, that's us, that's the church, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. But who's the head? The head is Christ. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 23. Ephesians 5, 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. He's the head of the church. So, what's the glory of this position? Well, He's the firstborn of God in the flesh, and He is the head of the church. Well, what's the significance of Him being the head? I want you to think about it. The head is the prominent position in the body, isn't it? It's the prominent position. It's on top of it. The head is the power position in the body. Nothing gets done in the body without the head. Am I right? Am I right? It gives direction and control for every other function of the body. You can live without the use of a lot of things, but you can't live without the use of your head. The head is, number three, it's the perception position in the body. Think about it. All five senses find their source in the head. Whether it be sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch, or feeling, it all comes from the head. That's why it's so necessary for us to abide in Christ. Because just like our head is the prominent position of our body, Christ is the head of the church. He's the prominent position. You don't exalt the pastor. We're not to exalt one another. We're to exalt the head. He's the power position in the body. We look to Him for power. He's the one that gives direction. He's the one that has direction and control over us, the body. He's the one that is the perception position in the body. He gives us our ability. The things that we perceive. Jesus said, remember, when He's talking about we need our need to abide in Him, that's why He said in John 15:5, without Me ye can do nothing. He said that because He's the head. He's the head. So we sing the glory of His person. He's the image of the invisible God. We sing the glory of His position. He's the firstborn of every creature, and he's the head of the church. Third thing, back in our text, Colossians chapter 1 again, we see the glory of his power. Verse 16, for by him, that is by Jesus Christ, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all that all means. All things were created by him and for him. Now, all things were created by him. This clears up any question about Christ being a creator or being a creature. He's creator. Isaiah 44:24 says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. So the Lord God Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Okay? John chapter number 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In other words, all things were made by Christ, who is the Word. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, but to us there is but one God, and there is just one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Ephesians 3:9, God created all things by Jesus Christ. Back to passage that we read a while ago in Hebrews 1:2, it said that He says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. See? He made the worlds by His Son, by the Son, Jesus Christ. And then verses 10 through 12 of Hebrews 1 says the very same thing. It says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. In other words, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He's God. All things were created by Him. All things were created beneath Him. Deuteronomy 4:39 says, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. When you get God, that's where the buck stops. There's no higher. There's no greater. He's got all power. He's got all knowledge. He's everywhere at the same time. You can't get any better than that, can you? You can't. That's how we know how things go in. This is His Word. Amen? It's His Word. Listen to 1 Chronicles 29:11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine, and thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. He's head above all. So, all things were created by Him. All things were created beneath Him. In other words, He's above it all. All things were created because of Him or for Him. Listen to Proverbs 16:4. Says, the Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Isaiah 43:21. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Hebrews 2:10 says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, Last thing I want you to see this morning, and we're not done by... I told you it's a two-part message. We'll take a look at the second part next week, but last thing I want to look at this morning is the glory of His preexistence. Look at our text. Colossians 1, verse 17 says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." He's before all things, by Him all things consist. Now, turn to the book of the Revelation. Book of the Revelation, chapter 1. If you're before all things, you're God. Amen? And everything else is created. But He's before all things. Revelation 1, look at verse number 8. This is Jesus speaking to John. It's the resurrected Lord, in fact, the glorified Lord, who is revealing Himself to John and giving a message to the churches. And this is what He says to John, John 1 and Revelation 1:8, excuse me, Revelation 1:8. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11, saying, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia." He again reiterates He's the Alpha and the Omega. Look at verse 17 and 18. And here was John's response when he says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." The glory of His preexistence. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God." Before all things, there was God. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." Well, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God." And John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." Hey, Jesus is God. We know that the Word of John 1:1 is Jesus. Isaiah 44:6. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." A verse that we use around Christmas time, Micah 5:2, says, "But..." It speaks of the preexistence of Jesus. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting." In other words, this little babe that was born in the manger there in Bethlehem, he's been from everlasting. He just now being made flesh, though. Huh? Just now being made flesh. John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." You know, when Jesus made that statement, the Jews picked up stones ready to stone Him. You know why? Because they knew what He was saying. He was saying that He was God. He was the I am that appeared unto Moses. John 17:5 says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Jesus always has been. And again, Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." Oh, what a mighty and glorious Savior we have. What a glorious head of the church. We should be obedient to Him in every way. He's the Lord Jesus. Is the Lord Jesus your God today? Is He your Lord? All of His creatures will one day acknowledge Him in all of His glory. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. But you know, it's better to go ahead and do that now so that you can be a part of the winning team. You're one of His creatures. Have you acknowledged Him for who He is? Why not call Him Lord in this life while you still have an opportunity? Because you will acknowledge Him one day. Don't let it be too late. And dear Christian friend, are you serving this glorious Savior as you should? You have all of Him. Does He have all of you? He wants to have all of you. He wants you to be open to His fullness. All the fullness is in Christ. Let God have His way in the invitation this morning. Let's stand, please, as we pray. Father, we just ask You to take these words. See Your glorious nature. See who You are. And understand, You have the preeminence. Lord, help us to give You the preeminence in our life. Have Your will and way in this invitation. If somebody is lost here today, just pray they'll come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we go. Play a hymn of invitation.